Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're exploring something really fundamental, I think. This whole idea of reaching out, seeking connection, and actually getting a response. You know those moments, right? When you just feel like you need an answer, maybe a sign, or just some kind of breakthrough. Well, our source material today, it really takes a fascinating look at exactly that. We have an excerpt here from the Faith Beans GP podcast. They often explore, you know, spiritual ideas, usually drawing from biblical texts. And this piece focuses on Psalm 91. For anyone maybe less familiar, that's one of the poetic books in the Bible. Specifically, they're honing in on verse 15. It says, "He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." So our mission really for this deep dive is to unpack what this podcast is saying about that verse, this idea that there's a, they call it a divine presence that's attentive, that responds when people reach out. We want to look at how they describe this presence, what those responses might look like, and this concept of honor that's mentioned.
And what's really quite compelling, I think, is how the source presents this connection. It's not framed as some, you know, distant abstract thing. It's portrayed as something very close, almost tangible, like a compassionate presence, always listening, sort of ready to engage with people who genuinely call out. And for you, the listener, this isn't just about, say, religious belief systems. It touches on that very human search for help and finding some kind of answer, which, as we'll see, the source suggests can show up in all sorts of ways, sometimes not even overtly spiritual.
Okay, so the source starts by laying a foundation, right? Using scripture to back up this core idea. What's maybe notable about the specific texts they choose?
Well, it's the consistency, really. They pull together several verses that seem to echo this promise of a guaranteed response. Take Jeremiah 33:3. It's not just, "I will answer you." It adds, "and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." So the answer isn't just a yes or no, potentially. It could be deeper insight, a revelation even. It hints at a desire from the divine to actually deepen our understanding.
Interesting. And then you mentioned Isaiah 65:24. "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." That's pretty proactive, isn't it? Almost anticipating the need.
Exactly. It paints a picture of this constant, almost eager attentiveness, like leaning in, ready before the words are fully out. And this idea gets broadened further with Romans 10:13. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." In the context here, saved seems interpreted as will receive this response of attention. It implies it's universally available.
Okay.
And then 1 Peter 3:1 kind of doubles down on this. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer." So if you weave these together, as the source does, you get this really vivid image of an active, engaged, listening presence, not passive at all.
Right. So after setting that scriptural stage, the podcast then does something really powerful. It moves to these real-world stories, case studies from different places. These aren't just abstract concepts anymore. They're accounts of people apparently experiencing very tangible responses.
Yes, and this is crucial, I think, for making the idea relatable. It shows how these ancient themes are seen playing out in people's lives today in really diverse ways. It demonstrates the kind of spectrum of what a response might look like.
Let's maybe touch on a few. They're quite varied. You have these moments of what seems like direct intervention, like the story from Kenya, a village church praying together during a bad drought. And then rain comes, but only in their specific area, apparently defying the forecasts. The locals saw it as a direct answer. And then there's Guyana, power outage, floodwaters rising. Pretty scary situation. Believers gather in a church, they pray Psalm 91, and the source says the flood just stopped right at the edge of the building, then went back down.
Wow. That's quite dramatic. Then you have other types of stories too, more about personal change or timely help, like the mother in Italy praying for 7 years persistently for her son's epilepsy. After a prayer retreat, his condition reportedly reverses. That highlights persistence, doesn't it?
7 years, yeah. That's dedication.
And then in Trinidad and Tobago, a young girl struggling with severe depression. She hears a sermon on Psalm 91, feels moved to cry out, writes it down. And then weeks later, help arrives through a totally unexpected channel, a new mental health program at her school.
So the answer wasn't maybe a sudden miracle cure, but the provision of practical help.
Exactly. It shows answers can come through very ordinary means,
yeah,
even if the timing feels extraordinary.
There's also a sense of protection mentioned. A businessman in Nigeria, he talks about praying Psalm 91 daily and feeling protected during a violent robbery attempt where others were harmed. His quote was simple, "I called on the Lord and he answered."
And one more from France. A missionary couple facing deportation. Things look bleak. They have a last-minute prayer meeting. And then inexplicably, the immigration officials grant them an extended stay. no clear reason given. The source calls it a divine reversal.
Okay.
So across these stories, you see this range from, you know, dramatic natural events to personal healing, practical provision, protection, and even bureaucratic turnarounds.
So looking at all this, these stories, the scriptures, what does the source say this means for us sort of practically? Because answers aren't always that clear cut, are they?
No, absolutely not. And the podcast tackles that directly. It raises that vital question. What actually counts as an answer? And their key takeaway seems to be this. Responses might come as yes, no, or perhaps wait. But crucially, they argue it's always intentional.
Intentional. So even a no or a wait isn't just silence or inaction?
According to this perspective, no. It challenges that idea that every single request gets an immediate positive fulfillment. It suggests there might be a bigger picture, a guiding purpose we don't always see, even in delays or apparent refusals.
And they link this back to the state of the person calling out, right? Something about humility and sincerity.
Yes, exactly. They reference Psalm 34.16 and talking about the cries of the humble and the sincere, which suggests it's not just about making demands, but about the posture of the heart being open, being genuine in the seeking. And it's also noted that this isn't just for individuals praying alone. Community prayers matter too. They cite the example from Acts, where the church prayed together for Peter's release from prison.
Right, Acts 12. So it covers both personal pleas and collective needs.
Precisely. It broadens the scope.
Here's something I found really fascinating. The idea that sometimes the answer isn't the situation changing at all. Instead, it's finding peace within the unchanged situation. They hint at this with Philippians 4.
Yes. That's a really profound shift, isn't it? It moves the focus from purely external results to an internal state. Maybe the answer is the strength or the calm or the resilience to endure the trial rather than the trial simply vanishing.
That reframes what answered prayer might even mean.
It does. And the source also reinforces that answers can pop up in unexpected ways, through a neighbor maybe, or a complete stranger, or maybe a delay that initially feels like a no suddenly makes sense later, becoming perfectly timed.
So patience and consistency are key themes then.
Definitely. They emphasize faith, sticking with it, referencing that parable in Luke 18 about the persistent widow. Don't give up, basically.
Yeah.
The core message seems to be the form varies, but the listening presence is constant.
Okay, so this deep dive, it's not just theory. The source really aims for application. It wraps up by inviting the listener, you, to engage with all this personally.
Yeah, it shifts to reflection. It poses that direct question. What have you been praying for that still feels unanswered? It really pushes for that personal introspection, connecting the concepts to your own lived experience.
And it gives concrete tools like journaling prompts. For instance, God, what do you want me to know about this delay?
Yeah.
That directly tackles those wait answers we discussed. It encourages exploring the potential meaning in the waiting itself.
Right. And then there are very practical suggestions too. Like try praying Psalm 91 over specific situations every morning and night for a week. See what happens. Or even starting a prayer wall or a board at home. You know, a physical space to write down requests and maybe later acknowledge any perceived answers. Tangible ways to practice this connection.
So we've journeyed through these scriptures, looked at these quite striking global stories, and considered the nuances of what an answer might even be. What's the main thing that resonates with you from all this?
For me, it's that central theme running through Psalm 91.15 and everything else they discussed. This idea of attentiveness and engagement. Whether the response is immediate or delayed or comes in a form you didn't expect at all, the underlying message from the source is one of active listening and readiness to connect. It really invites us to think about how we seek and maybe how we recognize finding, you know, emphasizing that the fact of an answer might be more consistent than the specific form it takes.
So here's a final thought to leave you with as you go about your day. If this material suggests that sometimes peace amidst the storm is the answer, not the storm disappearing, what might that mean for how you define a breakthrough in your own life? What does success or an answered call really look like then? Something to ponder. Keep exploring and keep considering the many, many ways connection might just manifest itself.